Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. We are continuing in our series studies of the temple of Yahweh. You are the temple, and he that defiles the temple, him shall God destroy. Now, the different aspects of the temple, its characteristics, its makeup, its reasoning, and for the purposes, is what we've gone into. Tonight, we're going to the door of the temple. We're going to start in the 10th chapter of the book of St. John, and we ask you to get your Bibles and study along with us tonight. Got a lot of information to throw down your way. And the Bible says that his people should have knowledge. And those that refuse to have knowledge are actually rejected by the Father. Well, if you can't find the door into the temple, it's for sure you can't go with him. Because there's only one door, there's only one way, there's only one faith, and there's only one Yahweh and one baptism. So tonight, let's go and search for the door of the temple. Now remember, doors have locks and doors have keys. Now the key to the kingdom talks about, woe unto you Pharisees, you lawyers and you scribes, where you have taken away the key of knowledge. You will not go through the door, and you would hinder them that would. There is a door that seems right, but that door leads to the pathway of deceit, destruction, and death. We call it the door of the three D's. Death, destruction, by deceit. So we don't want to go in that door. We've got to make choices here. Now, the Bible said, choose this day who you will serve. You've got to make very careful choices. Make your election and calling sure, and be very careful that your sins find you out. Find you out on this side, not on that side. Now, some men's sins are buried here, and some men's sins follow after them. Those sins that follow after them are those who have not found the door to the sheepfold and entered in and found remission of those sins. You see, the Bible says where the removing or the pardon or the remission of these sins are, then sin does no longer lay at your door. Remember what he told Cain in the 4th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 7? If you do good, well and good. If not, sin lays at your door. Everybody's got a door, and everybody must choose. And the options here, or the choices here, are very clear. You choose this day who you will serve. If you're going to serve Yahweh, as they did upon Mount Carmel, where Elijah demonstrated the power of Almighty Yahweh, when he erected a temple, altar, the foundation, of course, and the symbolic of the altar, he erected it in the name of Yahweh. Now, the prophets of Baal had one already built there upon Mount Carmel to Baal, the Lord God, the Canaanite scorn God, the one we know today as Lord. Many people are calling on Baal today, and they don't even know it, really, but they are. And that's where deception comes in. Remember the door of deception and the door of perception. Now, if you're not very careful, the mirrored image that looks right, seems right, and sounds right, all these are the traditional aspects of going through the door. And if you go through that door, you will find nothing but tribulation and anguish in the end. Now, you'll find peace and joy and a short-term gain by going the traditional route or the route Satan has chosen, because he chose the flesh way, the sin route way. The flesh man has no problems whatsoever. Seems like that they'll just cast the truth to the ground and prosper and go right along, and their children turn out fine. They become university scholars, and you know, they don't give the parents any trouble at all, and they attend church and take their family to a Sunday school and all these good things that the world looks at and says, "Oh my, what a perfect family situation of tradition." Well, the Bible said full well you reject the commandments, or you reject the door to keep your own tradition. So then you better be careful. Well, what if you've gone through the wrong door? Pastor Buddy, is there any avenue of escape for you? Yes, there is. The Bible says that there's more hope for a living dog than a dead lion. Don't wait until you are too old and you know, calloused and hardened against the pricks of the spirit. Don't let your heart be seared like a steak with a hot iron, where the tender mercies of Yahweh cannot penetrate and get into you. So make your election call, and surely come into the temple, and there you'll find rest in the time of need. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 1, chapter 10, John, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Have you ever considered the door is the entrance into eternity? Now, I said that you could get into tradition, and you can be delivered from tradition. You can be delivered from deceit. Such were some of you. Some of you were deceived. I was deceived for a long period of time. I hate to admit, I was deceived for over 30 years. And now, that may sound strange to you, because I fasted day in and day out. I prayed. I sought the Father. But by His eternal grace and mercy, I was hunting for the correct door. And the choice is are obvious here. You choose this day who you will serve. Serve Yahweh, as the old prophet Elijah said. How long will you be halted between two doors or two opinions? And when they seem to demonstrate, now they didn't say a thing when he asked them that question. I mean, you see, most people are from, like they were saying, they're from Missouri. They got to see something before their faith can be activated. They have to be encouraged, emotionally pumped up. Somebody can talk them into it, somebody can talk them out of it, that sort of thing. But ladies and gentlemen, when you're born into the kingdom, when you know your purpose and your divine destiny, when you see the truth and walk in, find rest for your soul, there's nothing, there ain't going to be nothing that can turn you around, that can move you out of the truth, because once you have been illuminated, it's impossible, having once tasted and learned to turn from the holy commandment delivered to you, and as the dog go back to your vomit. It's just almost impossible for you to go back to a dark spot when you've had the light. It is almost impossible for you to be deceived after you have been enlightened. Because the Bible says, if you deny him, maybe there will come a point when you will deny him, but the Bible said he remains faithful, he can't deny himself. So if Christ is in you, he speaks for himself, and your soul man is in captivity to him, and you can't escape. Paul said, I would accept these chains. But he said, if it's to die, it's Christ, but to live is Christ. So whether you live or whether you die, it has to be Christ when Christ is settled in you. The hope of going, you're still till the day of redemption. Ain't no devil can defeat or break the seal of the Shekinah of salvation that the Father has placed upon you, and the blood's been applied once and for all. There's no second application of blood in this case. It is only applied to your soul man one time, and then it's sealed. Now, you may deny it, break it, or turn away from it, or corrupt it, or stomp on it, or neglect it, and all these things. But the Bible said that flesh man that carries that vehicle will be destroyed, but the spirit man will be saved as by fire. You see, it's coming down to the test of fire, and everything that's been baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire will stand the test of fire when the fire comes. Everything it can is going to be burned up or melted with a fervent heat and disappear. It'll be no more. So then you've got an unburnable, unquenchable fire burning in you, and this fire is, like Jeremiah said, shut up in your bones, and it is the fire, the door of fire. My heavens, praise Yahweh. Now, if you look at the hay, it is a symbol in the Aramaic language of a door. The yod hay, vah hay. So the church is represented as the second aspect of the divine name, the yod being the first, and the hay. If you will look at it, the characters is symbolic of a door. And it's very strange why that the Father put that door there, and he actually put two doors there, the yod hey va hey. So the hey is doubled, a double witness for the door, and he said, I am the door, and he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now be very careful here as we are in the building process to try to find the door to the temple, for if you climb up some other way, what is the door of eternal salvation? Acts 4:11 and 12 will give you the door and the key to it. Peter had it and used it. Acts 2:38. 37, it said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and though that God that received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. This is the door into the eternal kingdom. Once you enter in, you're marked. You're sealed. Born of the water and of the Spirit, it is a promise that the Holy Father made to you. If you'll do this simple, I know it sounds foolish, but the Bible said he chose the foolish things to confound the wise. Are you foolish enough to become smart enough to choose that which was foolish, to do that which is wise? Or would you rather do that which is wise, which will later become foolish? Would you rather be seen as smart going down to the biggest church in town, playing on the organ or singing in the choir, or maybe even preaching in a pulpit? I preached in these large pulpits for 30 years. I didn't even have a name. I thought I went through the door. I obeyed what the written scripture said. I was baptized in Jesus' name, and I thought Jesus was the door, because it says, and Jesus said, I am the door. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say Jesus said. Jesus had been added to the text by the scribes or the builders, and the Bible said the truth will be evil spoken of by the builders, or the salvation name will be rejected by the builders. So they rejected the true name, put in a false name, and there's where they get you deceived, going through the door thinking that you're doing God a service, when in actuality you're deceiving yourself and them that follow you. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Isn't that strange? Now, he's going to call his own sheep by name. The whole family in heaven and earth is in that name. Ladies and gentlemen, that name must be called over and upon you through spiritual divine principles. And the Bible said he sent them forth to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they went forth and fulfilled that command by baptizing in the name of Yahweh, which is the name of the Father, and in the name of Yahweh, which is the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, which is Yahweh. The Father and the Spirit are the same person. Now, the Son was manifest because the Son was God manifest in the flesh. So he walked around here and told everybody his name and declared in John 5:43, said, I am coming, my Father's name. I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the door into the sheepfold. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, into the name of Yahweh, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the promise to you and your children, and as many as are far off, even as many as Yahweh shall call. The same day that they gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day added unto them 3,000 souls. This is how they got in, ladies and gentlemen, in the divine, holy, magnanimous, magnificent, glorious, almighty, powerful, loving, kind, righteous name of Yahweh. The name above every name. At this name, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall swear. And in that day, they'll say, Lord, glory to God. I listened to the preacher preach, and he said that you was the door, Lord. And you know what? Yahweh's going to say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Upon Mount Carmel, Elijah challenged him and said to Israel, the Israelites, he said, if Yahweh be the Elohim, serve him. And if Baal, the Lord, Baal be Baal, serve him. And when they seen the demonstration, as I have indicated, when the fire came down and consumed the sacrifice and lapped up the water in the ditch that ran around the altar, this great circle that he dug a trench around and poured in 12 barrels, one barrel upon every name of the 12 tribes of Israel. He poured one barrel per name, representing that the water of life should be poured out upon the 12 sons of Jacob, and to them only, of you only, he said, the whole family in heaven and earth, you only have I chosen. Ladies and gentlemen, this gets where the cheese gets burned, and this is where Pastor Buddy parks a lot of them from his following. I cut them off right there. They will not follow me no more and my teaching, because it's a hard saying, and we can hear it, and many turn back and wouldn't follow no more. Now, if you preach the bell box line of doctrine, God loves everybody, and God's going to save everybody, and everybody's going to be one big, happy, mixed-up, miscegenated family in heaven, you've got another thing coming. It just ain't going to happen anytime soon. That's why that Pastor Buddy only has a few that were there to identify with the ministry that I preach. I'm the most controversial preacher on Truth Radio. It's been noted that I'm the third most hated man on Truth Radio. I don't know who the number one and number two is, but you know, I'm a little bit envious and jealous of them. But number three ain't bad. That just makes me try harder. Praise Yahweh. You say, do you relish in the fact that you're hated? Of course I do. Beware of a man that's well spoken of. So you ain't got no problem with Pastor Buddy, because 9 out of 10 will speak evil of me. But those that know the Heavenly Father and the Heavenly Father's name know that Pastor Buddy's a good man and preaching the divine name, and they will recommend Pastor Buddy's ministry to those who haven't been saved and baptized into the wonderful magnanimous. And when I get talking about this name, I just can't hardly quit. The adjectives just keep flowing out of my mouth. Praise Yahweh. So let me just say it's a wonderful name. No wonder he said wonderful counsel of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. No wonder he said Emmanuel, which had been interpreted as God with us, Isaiah 7:14 and Isaiah 9:6. No wonder these adjectives that the prophets, the great prophet Elijah, no wonder he knew he was dealing with. No wonder that he knew that the fire would come from the heavens and consume the sacrifice. No wonder that the water was a symbol of the saving grace. And the Bible said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture just said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is what's alluding to, that the name of Yahweh is a river of life. And the door, the water is dammed up. It's waiting on you. When you open the door and open it correctly, open it to the divine name, then the heavens are open, and the flood the flood of truth and joy unspeakable and full of glory comes out of heaven. Oh my, I'm so glad I found the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I have reduced my friends by, if I had 1,000 friends when I got in this, and I believe I did have, I'd be willing to count 10 right now, and I'm telling you, it's the truth. I'm talking about genuine friends. 10 good men I could really count on with my life. I know very few that I could count them on my hands. I'll say that. Maybe I should say hands senior, but I'll take a chance and say hands and trust some of them that even some of them I'd question. But I know two or three that I lay my life on the line and rest assured that they would lay their life down for me before that they see my life harmed. Now, that's greater love hath no man than this to walk through the door of fellowship. And the Bible said, by this shall all the world know you, my disciples, if you love one another. Friends are going to be few. The Bible said in Matthew 10:22, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Nobody hates you for the name of Jesus. They'll accept you in the Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, the Quakers, the Shakers, the Mormons, and the Morons, and everything else. They'll accept you into their assembly through that name. You get the name of Yahweh, and they'd rather you didn't come. I'm not welcome. They think me coming with a Bible under my arm, and they start dismiss. I've actually walked in, they dismissed the church. People jump up and say, wait a minute. We just get started. Hey. You know, the Bible said to holler and to flee when he sees the man of Yahweh come in. He's hollering to flee. They don't want to face the reality of truth. They don't want to withstand the knowledge of the scriptures of Yahweh's men. Yahweh's men are well versed in the word. They don't have to scratch your head and wonder what it said. They've been there. They've done that. They've heard that. They've prayed over it. They've cried over it. I've agonized over about every scripture in the Bible. It has been a torturous journey for me. But ladies, now let me tell you this much. I have learned through my having to crawl on the infiltration course through the door of the truth of the divine name of Yahweh. I've entered it and found this. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I am as content as I can be. I'm just as happy right here, praise Yahweh, with a few friends. And a few people that call me during the day and minister to, and the people I mail out tapes to, I've mailed out over 45 packages of tapes of this week. So it keeps me busy. I'm content. And I'm still not caught up on my mail from this week, praise Yahweh. So I've got more to go, but I've already mailed out 35 packages in the mail this week from our post office right here in New Tazewell. Why? Because I believe that we're preaching the door to the eternal kingdom. I want you to know about the message. I want you to know that the truth of Yahweh is forever settled and nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it, praise Yahweh. Now notice, and he that putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. They follow him through the door. I am the door to the sheepfold. Now remember, the door to the sheepfold. Now remember also that Noah, when he was given the ark of safety, it only had one door. And the Bible said when Noah entered in, somebody shut the ark from outside. The door was shut. That door, ladies and gentlemen, shut. And the ark arose through the 40 days of the infiltration of the water that came from the heavens. This great canopy that was actually a barrier between the earth and the sun, it warmed and caused the earth to be a constant 72 degrees worldwide. Now when this was ruptured, it brought in the seasons of change of harshness, and the earth responded negatively as it now was accursed, and it brought forth the thorns and the thistles, and man had to earn his bread by the sweat of his face. And he had to also spiritually find the door that was overlaid with gold. Now, let me get into the divine aspects. I'll just come back on the divine aspects of the name. I want to give you exactly 7 different divine aspects to the door. And we'll cover that in the second half when we return. I'll give you the scriptures to indicate what we're talking about when we come back. So, Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. Stay tuned. I'll be back in 2 with the divine aspects, the 7 precious divine aspects of the door into the eternal future for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Pastor Buddy, Shepherd's Call. Come on back with me, and I'll be back in two. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. We're talking about the door into the temple of Yahweh, or as Christ referred to it in the 10th chapter of John, the door to the sheepfold, the place of the gathering of the sheep to be with the Heavenly Father. Now, he himself had to come down and regain the lost keys to the door. Satan took the keys when he left, and he locked the door, and so nobody could find the key. And it had to be that Christ would have to be embodied in a temple of flesh. Now, we're talking about this temple, and we'll, if I can continue the series here, which I would like to do, maybe sometime later, because Monday, we're going on to an exciting series of the relationship of the sun and the moon and the 12 stars. I want to get particularly on the moon phases and the great light that is hung in the heavens to indicate the seasons and times. I want to talk about it next week, and I've got some great information for you on the moon. So you don't want to miss it. Praise Yahweh. And then I'll get back in, and I will start. The next time I come back, I'll start perhaps on the veil, because you see now, once you get into the door of the temple, there was a veil to cover the most holiest of holies. Now, we will give you the symbology of it, why it was there, what purpose it was, what color it was, how big it was, how high it was, why it was torn from the top to the bottom, and the things of this nature, and we will take you through all the symbology of the veil. Very interesting, very exciting information that we can share with you. Praise Yahweh. Now, remember, the ark is a type of the temple, and you are the ark, and Yahweh is the master shipbuilder. And remember, the Bible said, Paul said, except you remain in the ship, you can't be saved. So you got to be in the ship, and the ark, or the covenant with the Father, and the ark had three foundations, or three stories. It was the foundation and the door and the window, of course. Now, that's what you know what it was. Only one door into it, and it is a symbol. Now, let's look at the aspect of the door into the sanctuary. We're in 1 Kings chapter 6. We're going to start at the 33rd verse, and we're going to read the first two verses. Now, I've done told you that the Messiah said in the New Testament, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, I have told you how to get in that door. Now, if you don't pay heed, you say, well, buddy, that's just outright too simple and too plain, and there has to be something other than just repent and get baptized in the name. Well, what else is there? In Matthew 28:19, he commanded them to go and teach the sons of Jacob, the offspring, to repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sin, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was a promise. Now, if you believe that by faith, you shall receive it, because you have obeyed what he told you to do, and the promise is made to you and your children and all that are far off if you will obey him. He gives the Holy Ghost to them and obey him. Again, it's an act of obedience. You don't have to lay somewhere on some altar and pray and agonize and pound and throw slobber and snot all over the place. You don't have to do that. There's no scripture for that. The altar is for a worshiper, not a sinner. The river is for the sinner to remit his sins. Water baptism is for the remission of sins. You can pray till heaven shuts up and hell freezes over. And if you don't get up and obey, how are you going to obey that? Well, you've got to be chosen. Honey, you were chosen from the foundation of the world. Why do you have to agonize and ask God if he chose you when he said, I chose you? You didn't choose me. You can't choose him no way. If you prayed for a million years, you still couldn't choose him. He chose you. Your name's on the Lamb's book. Just make sure it remains there, and the only way it'll remain there and won't be blotted out. There's a lot of Israelites that have their name blotted out. Yes, yes, yes. Because all Israel ain't Israel. See, it's a refining process. Only one third, it's noted in the scriptures that only one third will come through the fire. Well, at least two thirds of these that were worthy will want taste of the supper. So, Pastor Bernie, that's scaring me now. I just thought that we didn't have nothing to do. We just lay around and run after money and live the world. And then at the end, you know, we get grace. We just walk in and say, because we're white, we're right, we tight, we clean, we lean. No, sir. If your sins ain't remitted, you can't go into the kingdom. And unless you come through the door and unless you're called by the family name, and the only way you get the family name is have a minister that's qualified, that has repented himself and baptized in the name. Paul said, if I don't practice what I preach, I become a castaway. And why would you want some of these priests to sprinkle you? Man, it's the biggest joke I ever seen. Really, sprinkle? Well, you say, well, I don't believe in sprinkling. I believe in immersion. Well, how was you immersed? Well, let me see now. See, what did that preacher say? Now, I don't know what he said, but glory to God, it was good. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a formula. The door has got a formulation combination on it, and if you don't turn the right tumblers on the lock to get it to open to you, it ain't going to open by just saying any old way or any old name. It only opens to one name because there's only one salvational name that key will fit, and that's the door into the great name of Yahweh. I'm sorry, but that's the way it's written, and that's why I lost all my friends. They feel like the lone stranger praise Yahweh. That's what I feel like. When I joined in this great name, I became a stranger to my friends. Family denied me. Most of them started talking about me from pillar to post. Most of them still do, but what's that got to do with the price of being? The Bible said you shall be hated. Oh, you wouldn't be loved and patted on the back and carried around upon a pedestal or given a big church to preach in or a big church to attend. Yes, I miss the big crowds. I like to be on Billy Graham's crusade. You would? Yeah, sure would. I'd love to be on it. I'd love to get 1 hour in front of a big stadium filled with people, and I would make it probably my last time to preach, but I guarantee you I would tell them what it took to get into the kingdom a little bit more than just as I am. And whatever your idea didn't go to church of your choice and come up and sign a little card. No, I would give them the straight gospel, and Mr. Graham, that's why they won't do that. But see, they avoid doctrine. You gotta have doctrine here. Doctrine to the door. The door has to be doctored real good. Now, the combination to the lock, it's locked, and the combination, well, you gotta get the combination. That was the whole last thing, the door and lock. The gospel is knocking through the door. He's shouting his message, his commandments through the door. That only you have the combination, and you only get the combination through the preacher, because how can you hear without a preacher, and how can a preacher get to this thing? I'm sorry, but the way the Father made it, and the door to the sanctuary in the most holy place, as we noted in 1 Kings. Now, let's go to number one. The door was made of the fir tree. Now, remember I told you about the cypress tree? This is a pretty durable door. You go out to Georgia and get in those swamps down there and look at those cypress trees that are growing down there in the swamp in Florida. And you'll see that this wood is, I mean, it is a water tree, praise Yahweh. No wonder that the door is baptism. What a baptism in the name. That's the door, ladies and gentlemen, into the kingdom. And it's made of the fir tree according to gospel. Wood is speaking again of Christ's sinless humanity. Wood. Temporary body. He came 33 years, a 33rd degree, and he wasn't a mason, by the way. He was the builder rejected. He wasn't the masons accepted the god Lucifer, the light bearer. The Masonic order today worships Lucifer. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. And they rejected the stone. You see, the stone, they've got the degrees, they've got the truth, but they've got it hid. And then they use it in a deceptive way, and a lot of these lodges and places that work in secret are nothing but, well, I don't even want to go there. Praise Yahweh. I got six more to go here. Now, I want you to look at the door. The door itself, the door, is made of the fir or the cypress tree that I told you about last night. And you can research that out in Isaiah 41:19, 55:13, 60:18, 14:8, Hosea 14:8. I'll read you that one last night. Psalms 104:17. And then the two side posts. Now, remember I told you about the hay? The yod hay, va hay speaks of the Messiah as the anointed one. The two side posts which support the door may speak of the Godhead principle. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The three aspects of the door. And remember, there's nothing at the bottom of the door to trip you. It's clear. Nothing is put across the bottom of the door for you. As you enter, but the headrest above it is for safety, and the two signposts are for the strength of that door to open into eternity. It will not fail you. When you stand before Him and are judged accountable or worthy or unworthy, and the door of choice will be examined, and if you've taken the right door, oh my, hallelujah. Now, the door represents actually an access to the presence of God. Remember now, He dwells in the holiest of holies. So you go in the door, and then the articles of furniture, we'll get into that later on. I can't wait to get into all those articles of furniture in there. Man, oh man. The bread, the loaves, and things of this nature, and the mercy seat and the lavers and all this. Oh, what a thrill we're going to have here as we continue in the temple of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Now, the fourth part of the wall, the doors measured a fourth part of the wall. Four is the number of His rest and His Sabbath. The fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember, the Bible said, take heed that you enter and you fail to enter into His rest. That's what it's talking about. It's a fourth part of the wall. So the door was made in a fourth part of the equalization of the wall. Isn't it wonderful that the Father had everything in a divine measurement for a purpose? His act of the gospel received to you in the four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Oh, isn't it wonderful that in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10, it displays the four creatures that made up the characteristics of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the man, the eagle, the ox, praise Yahweh. It is wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, what the Father has laid up for them to love and save them and have a revelation of what the true divine nature is. The Father just keeps on, giving you a dimension within a dimension within a dimension. It is just the fourth part of wonders that all mankind is to come before Him, and those are examined. Out of every kindred and tongue of Jacob Israel, the tribes and nation will be redeemed. They have to come to the Father through Christ the Anointed, or the door, and He said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. No man cometh unto the Father except by Me. John 6:45 said, every man that learns of the Father will come to the Son. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 said, He would reveal to you that the Son is the true God. So God was manifest in the flesh. Now, the fourth aspect, the two lead doors represented the nation of the ten tribes of Israel and the tribe of Judah. See, the kingdom of Israel was split. Judah comprised one door, and Israel, the other 11 nations, comprised the other. And so then we have what is known as the 10 northern tribes, because Benjamin was supposedly miscegenated in, but they weren't. They were left there for a purpose because they were the witnesses from the birthright son of Rachel, that they would be there, and Yahweh chose 12 of them to follow him, and they become the apostolic fathers of the apostles that laid the foundation. So the same truth is there in the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and each represent and present Christ in his sonship in a unique way. Each one has a dimension, a very dimension. So four is the divine Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, divine principle of a door. Now, the door had open flowers on it. And I explained a little bit about the beauty of Christ in his perfect humanity. Remember, he's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright in the morning stars. That's why that was put there. And, of course, the palm trees was the righteousness of Christ and the perfect and upright one, as the little children broke off the palm trees' leaves and they waved them and said, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. And the Pharisees said, get him to hold it, please. And the cherubims, the one in whom the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt. The cherubims, between the cherubims, pointing their wingtips spread over the ark. Ladies and gentlemen, a sign of the eternal covering of a father who gave his own son, his own flesh, if you will, his own blood, and become the opened veil. He ripped the veil of his flesh open and exposed his water and blood, out came water and blood, which is a symbol, and therein hinges the door of faith in eternity. Now, let me give you the sixth aspect, if I've got to hurry. Praise Yahweh. Gold hinges. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 50, read it. These doors, both in the holy place and the holiest of all, were hung up on golden hinges. You wonder why? The door of your faith is golden. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Gold is the most precious ornament that you can have upon this earth. It is the purest of all metals and is the most treasured metal upon the earth. You know why? Because it was the symbol of a divine sonship that was covered. The Father, by his own grace and love, covered the Son. He said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up. The faith of the door hinges upon the golden faith, which is the golden rule. Love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your brother and sister in Jacob Israel with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It speaks of that which is divine, gold. The door into the holiest of all. I don't have time to cover it tonight. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. I'd like to get into it. Let me just say it a little bit. It again has another two sets of folding doors. So there's four into the temple before you get into the main area where the Most Holy dwells. Again, four doors hinging on the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, the fourth part of his name, revealed in a body of flesh, to be now united with completeness. The Bible said we're made complete in Christ, and it is wonderful that it was now finally made in the final one, made of the olive tree. In contrast to the doors of the holy place, where it was a fir tree, these doors that were opened into the holiest of holy were made of the olive tree. Again, I don't have time to explain to you exactly what that was all about, but I did last night when I told you that the olive tree symbolizes the house of Israel. It is the only tree mentioned that would be symbolized for the house of Israel. Isn't it wonderful that our Father has a divine plan for us? He's the door to the kingdom. He's the door of the sheepfold. He's to the door of your salvation. And he that climbeth up some other ways of fame is a thief and a robber. And the Bible said the world and the tradition of the world, the Bible said the world loves its own. You want to be popular? Go to the world. If you want to be a world-renowned preacher, go to TBN. They'll put you on television, and if you can huff and puff and blow and quote a few scriptures, you know, most of them don't know enough scriptures to actually to save theirself, let alone them to hear them. But it's marvelous how that they have spellbound the masses of Jacob Israel under the guise of Christianity in a false name. I don't understand it, but I didn't understand it 30 years ago when I was preaching the name that I thought I lived by, but I found it to be death, and that which I found to be death, I found to be life. So the things I once hated, I now love, and the things I now love, I have to cast off those things that I hate. Praise Yahweh, because my eyes are opened up now, and I wish I were cursed for my kinsmen according to the flesh, because they don't understand me. They think I've gone off the deep end, and they'll think you've jumped off the deep end when you walk through the door of the divine covenant name of Yahweh. Are you willing to pay the price to wear the crown, ladies and gentlemen? If you're going to go into the holiest of holies, I won't talk about that. When I come back on this series, we're going to end it this week, and I'm going into another series, but I'll come back, I promise, later on, and I'll cover the whole aspect of the whole temple. We'll get into the holiest of holies. We'll see the furniture there and how it's placed and what it was for, and the things that were not permitted for Paul to write about the ark. I'm going to go into some of the things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world about the inner working of the Ark of the Covenant, praise Yahweh, where it is, how it's located in your heart, how the divine aspects of the dimensions of the inner beings, the seven steps toward eternity, and all those things that manifest in truth will be coming your way when we come back into the divine aspects of the temple. Now, if you'd like to call me tonight, just dial area code 423. 626-2172. If you'd like to be baptized, call me up. And if you can make it down here, sell one of your cows. Sell a horse. Sell one of your cars. You know, do something worthy of your faith. Make your election and calling sure. You know, the little woman that put everything she had in the treasury, she put everything she had. And there were people that were putting 10, 20,000 times probably more than she's putting in. But she put in more than I thought. She put in all she had. They put in a part of what they had. She put in all. So it's not measured in what you have. It's measured on what you put in. If you give it all, then come and get baptized in the great name. Amen. 423-626-2172. If you'd like to mail me a letter and talk to me, I'll send you some free information if you would like to. Praise Yahweh. Just mail Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. And Yahweh richly bless you. It's my prayer as we are ministering to you tonight on Truth Radio. We're live. This is Friday, and we are on the... What day is this, praise Yahweh? I don't even know what day it is. Probably the 14th, yes, this is the 14th. And it's flag day, by the way, praise Yahweh. Let's fly the flag of Jacob Israel. And you know what flag I'm talking about, praise Yahweh. And we'll see you Monday night on Truth Radio again. Yahweh bless you is my call until next Monday night at 8 o'clock on the 17th of June. We'll see you then live. We'll see you Sunday night on WWCR on 12.160 at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 3.210 at 8 p.m. Yahweh bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the same station. Praise Yahweh.